Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise, people. Let's do this right. Say, God is good. You know, and I'm so thankful for all, each and every one of you here, especially our fathers. And it's an amazing experience. I remember years ago when Kim was first pregnant and I had a guest speaker coming through, older gentleman. He's like, Greg, you think you know love, but the first time you have a child, your wife has a child, you see that baby, he goes, something's going to change on the inside. And you know what? He was right. He was, that instinct that God created within each and every one of us. I thought I knew what love was. But when I held that baby, I understand. A whole different level. That everybody's different. But I understand what it means to lay your life down for your child. Or lay somebody else's life down for hurting your child. Come on, somebody, you know. Man, it just opened a part of my heart that I didn't realize was even closed. To be a father, to be a parent. I mean, you got to love parents. Parents are the only ones that can look at their kids that are doing wrong and everybody else is saying they're wrong, but they still love them. They could be, you know what I mean, carting them off to someplace, and they're like, that's my baby, they didn't do it. You know what I mean, a parent loves their child, even under wrong choices, that you look at them and say, I don't agree with your decisions and your choices. But the love of a father, love of a parent, it's just so strong. And Jesus said, if you which are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father know how to give you good gifts? The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. God is a good God. And he loves us so much. And many times you can see why the tactic of the enemy is to get people to not know God and to not understand the heart of the Father. And as a result, people start doubting and questioning, and they'll say, and out of sincerity, they'll say stuff that you're like, that is not correct. They'll say stuff like, well, when they have a loss or someone dies, well, I guess it was their time that God called them. He must have needed another angel in heaven. First of all, God doesn't kill people. Amen. I've had people I've done funerals with children that have passed away. Well, God just needed another angel. First of all, God doesn't kill babies. He doesn't kill children. That's right. Let me say that again. That was kind of quiet. Some of you come from a background that you blame God for everything. God doesn't kill people. Right. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly, John 10:10. And Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. He's the reflection. That's why he told the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know the heart of the Father, look to the Son. He's this expressed image. And God doesn't kill children. That's the thief. Well, God's all powerful, yes, but God also watches over his word and perform it, Psalms 119. And he's established this world and has given dominion not to himself, but to Adam or to humanity. Amen. But one day, this thing will be wrapped up. Yes. I said, one day, this thing's going to be wrapped up. Yes. Matthew 24, only the Father knows the time, but even demons realize that there's a time. We're going to get more into that starting next week. I had scheduled to start on our last day series on end times, which is a study that I love doing and have done many times, but I felt a tug by the Holy Spirit to do a different topic. And you'll see why as we get into this. And it's just not because of Father's Day, but it's to begin to understand the heart of the Father. The Father, you know what I mean, it doesn't kill and steal and destroy. That's the enemy. Right. And people never turn into angels, by the way. Right. When you die, you're not an angel. You're not going to be a baby angel with diapers and a wing and wings and playing a harp. That doesn't work that way. It's not a dream state. Heaven's real. Heaven's more tangible, more real than what you understand in this three-dimensional reality. Paul says, on this side I see dimly, but on that side I will know as I am known. You might be very smart and very intelligent today, but when you cross over into the realm of eternity, you're going to realize that the greatest wisdom of man is still the foolishness of God, the Bible says, and you are now open to a level of understanding and experience that you didn't even think was possible. Amen. But the heart of the Father is to do good. The heart of the Father is to help. The heart of the Father is to love. The heart of the Father is for your best interest. Amen. We're going to talk about that today and how that affects our decisions in life. And it can and should. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be in your presence. We thank you for the miracles and the testimonies that are coming in from just this past week. But Father, I thank you that you are still the God of miracles. You are still healing. You are still delivering. You are still saving. I thank you that your plan will be completed. We thank you for your goodness. You are good, and there's none like you. We worship you today. Now bless your people, I ask, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The heart of the Father is good. In fact, you could say it this way, and that's what Jesus was really referring to when he told the disciples, you which are evil. He wasn't calling people evil, but he was calling them evil if you compare yourself to God. Because you might take offense and say, well, I'm not evil. Well, compared to the goodness of God, you are. Because your heavenly Father is so good that one day when they approached Jesus and said, good master, what do I need to do to inherit life? He put him on a pause. He stopped him. He interrupted him as a parent might do a child who begin to misspeak. Wait a minute, don't talk like that. Right. Jesus said, wait a minute, you don't understand. There is none good but one, and that's the Father. Yes. The Father is, he is good. He is God. He is pure. He is so good that the weight of his goodness cannot be held or maintained by someone that has not been glorified. See, that's what Adam lost when he went into sin. He lost the glory of God because Psalm says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That you have clothed him, you have crowned him with glory and honor. See, I don't believe Adam and Eve were naked as what we would conceive naked. I believe that they were wrapped within the light of God's goodness, his glory. We try to direct light. God has the ability to shape it. And I believe what they lost is a dimension of eternity that they could not get back on their own. God is so good. Say, my heavenly Father is good. Folks, we could say that and keep saying it and say it for a million years and never scratch the surface to his goodness. He's that good. He is so good that it carries a weight, a heaviness because of his goodness. Right. He's so good. And the Bible tells us he's so good, John 3:16, a common verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is so good that he wants you to have everlasting life. Now, everlasting life, if I can do a side trip, everlasting life is not a life, or people will say eternal life. Eternal life is not based on longevity or by years. You have people say, well, if you get saved, you're going to live forever. Let me help you out. You're going to live forever regardless if you get saved or not. Right. It's all based on the zip code you end up. Come on. Jesus prayed, and hear me out. Some verses I'm going to read and we'll throw it on the screen. Some I will reference and some I'll say in passing. I do that on purpose because I want you to have enough curiosity or enough where you don't like it that you will challenge it on your own time. I say on a regular basis, challenge everything I say. Challenge everything everybody says because I want you to have that critical thinking and not be gullible to any idea that comes down the road. And when you challenge it in your own time, guess what happens? God can reveal stuff to you and you can grow. See, I'm growing. And so your Heavenly Father is a good God. Yes. And in the rhythm of life, he's asked us to love people. That's right. Now that sounds kind of, especially for men, that's a little less masculine than we want to go down. That's more emotional, a little emotion and fuzzy and, but actually, the love of God is not that way. That's right. There is a strength to the love of God. Yes. There is a strength to the love of God. Amen. And yet many people, we struggle to experience it and express it in our lives. But we see this verse in Matthew's Gospel chapter 22, if you have your Bibles, verse 37. Right before this, they had asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Have you heard this verse before? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto it, thou shalt love your neighbor as you love yourself. on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He wants us to love each other. I have preached this verse, and we encourage you to learn and be open to learning, open to growing. But can I present a different idea to you today? Are you ready for this? Let me ruffle your feathers just a little bit, if possible, just so you can maybe research or kind of look at it from a different angle. It's between you and Jesus, how you walk out the revelation. Let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth of God's word to you. But may I present to you, is it possible that this verse is outdated to our life? Now stay with me for a second. Because we have read this, we have tried to practice this, we have tried to work this, but notice the context of what's being said. Because many times we look at the Gospels and we look at it like, oh, the Gospels are the New Testament, and it's canonized within the context of what we call the New Testament, but the Gospels are the life of Jesus on the earth before the New Covenant. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not part of the new covenant because the new covenant needs the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There must be a shedding of blood for a covenant to be established. And the blood that was shed for the new covenant is the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. So at the cross was the beginning of the shedding of blood that created a new covenant. So in the time, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, I haven't come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill the law. The Bible says that he was made under the law. Why? He had to live. Did you realize that? Jesus lived under the Old Testament, Old Covenant. So he worked with the boundaries and the principles of the Old Covenant, not the New Covenant. He did that to fulfill, to pay the price of the Old Covenant so that he could be the doorway for us to walk into the New Covenant. That's when people say, there's got to be more than one way to heaven. Show me who else could pay that price. Nobody has. To be sinless and to do the will of the Father and pay the price of sin for humanity. He paid that price. But in this context, he is talking to people who are still in the old covenant. The context even states it's about the law of the old covenant. What is the greatest commandment of the law? Now, I'm not telling you not to love God. Stay with me. And even in verse 40, again, it says, on these two commandments hang all the... Why do I bring that up? Because when we understand the context of the law and the assignment, the purpose of the law, because Abraham received the promise by faith, and his promise, Paul tells us, is not for him only, but for him and to his seed. Seed being singular, not plural. He is referring to Abraham, and by faith, you can enter something, not by works, but by faith. By grace through faith, you are saved. And it was in the context of Abraham and leapfrogging over to the pointing of Jesus. So everybody between that space was under the law. Why were they under the law? Paul tells it this way, to again challenge it. Paul tells it the reason is because the law was a tutor. Do you know what a tutor does? Yes. Tutor is someone you bring in to help instruct. That's a one-on-one attention. And the tutor was to work with humanity one-on-one to let them realize that here's the commandments to be righteous so that they would come to the realization that no one could be righteous in their own ability because of the sinful nature. Because if you violated one of the commandments, you were in violation of all the commandments. So you might not have killed somebody, but if you committed adultery, you were also a murderer. It was all or none. And so the law was a tutor to show them that they could not do it without God. That's a human danger even today. We try to live a life to earn the righteousness that's been provided. And I'm not saying that, hear me. Keep the truth in the middle of the road. There's always extremes. And when you go to extremes, you get into error. Some people will take that and will say, I can do whatever I want because I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And Paul tells us in Romans 6, because of your freedom, do you allow your freedom to get you to go back and sin? God forbid. You're free from sin, not free to sin. My righteousness is established by the blood, and my actions should be coming as a reflection of my position, not my actions to acquire a position. Do you see the difference? So Jesus is talking here, and he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And many of us have been trying to love people the way we love ourselves. But a problem with that is it's not only under the law, but it creates an escape clause. By accident, you say, what's the escape clause? Well, if I don't like myself, then I can dislike other people. If I hate myself, I can hate people. Because the truth is, hurt people. But there's no exemption to this. And because we struggle to try to achieve something that's in the law, and we're now in grace. And it doesn't mean that we don't have to love people, but there is a different source so that we can do what's greater that can't be done. See, Jesus didn't lower with grace. He didn't lower the standard. He raised the standard. He's basically saying, listen, it is written that you should not commit adultery. Okay? But Jesus said, I tell you that if you look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you have already committed adultery. So he didn't lower the bar, he raised it. He raised a bar that they couldn't jump over before. So they couldn't jump over this height. He said, I'm going to show you something. There's a level of living that's higher than what you couldn't do before. And I'm showing you this because I want you to know that the bar I'm setting is not based on your ability, it's based on my ability through you. Because you can't live here, so I'm raising a bar so you know without any shadow of doubt that the life you're about to step into is empowered by God and not by your discipline. I'm into discipline. We need discipline. We need routine. But some of us, our walk with God, our Christian lifestyle is purely based on our own achievements, like we're going to get before the throne of God one day and say, look what I've done for you. It doesn't work like that. If you do great things for God, you'll get before God and say, look what you've done through me. And in the world, even today, even more so, and I don't want to go on this too much, but even the world, you know what I mean, there is so much going on, so much hatred, so much confusion, and I want you to know my opinion from this perspective. I believe wrong and inappropriate laws need to be changed, right? I believe evil people in powerful positions need to be removed. I believe that protesting is a constitutional right, and it is a good thing. I obviously don't believe in rioting and burning buildings, okay? But protesting is a constitutional right. It's a good thing. But if all things change and you get all the right people in power and you get all the laws, and these are important things, don't diminish them. I'm not diminishing them at all. And if you get all the right laws in place, the assumption is society will be better. And I'm telling you, society won't be better because the problem is not just with the leadership of a city or a state or a nation. And the problem is just not the bad laws. The problem is the evil in the heart of man. That's why we need Jesus. We can get everything right on the natural side and still see it crumble because we need to come to the reality, the revelation that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Because without Jesus, your heart is evil. Without Jesus, you will hate even though you smile. What causes a person to love somebody else? Oh, well, the Bible tells us it's a commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you can read it 10 times. And I'm telling you, we have struggled in the church world trying to do something that God didn't ask you to do. Right. Are you telling me, Pastor, that God's saying it's okay for me to hate people? No. Because God doesn't lower the bar. Right. He raises the bar. Ezekiel, and you can write this down, Ezekiel 36, 26, it all talks about how God's going to put in this whole futuristic prophetic covenant that one day I'm going to replace the heart of the people from with a hard heart with a heart of flesh. God says it this way, one day I will have a people who want to be my children and are glad that I'm their God, and I will take out that heart that was evil, and I'm going to put in a new heart. I'm going to put in a better heart. Say with me. This is why I believe with all my heart that salvation is not just a let's get better, let's join a church, let's try to all get along. That's not salvation. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles because it brings us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And brings us and positions us to see the miracle working power of God operate not only in our life for our healing and blessing, but even changing our attitudes and our perspective and our actions and reactions. And when the devil says, you've been like this way too long, I'm telling you, God can undo 50 years of whatever in a moment because he's that powerful, he's that good, he's that real. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us the standard. Be ye kind, verse 32. And be kind one to another. That's no big deal. Tenderhearted, not major deal. Forgiving one another. Okay, we're working on that. Even, say even.
Even.
You could also say just like, right? Just like. Even as, here's the clincher, here's the kicker. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Okay, wait. Now I got to back up here. What is he telling me? He's telling, I want you to treat people this way, but don't do it from the standard of your humanity. Do it from the standard of my divinity. That's another standard. I'm to forgive people the way he forgives people. I'm struggling to forgive them the way I forgive them. Come on, let's get real this morning, right? I think I've done a really good job when I see them and I smile at them. Oh, I had a chance to rip into them. I could have hurt them. Ooh, I could have done something and I refrained. But God didn't say forgive them the way you forgive them.
Right.
He says forgive them the way I forgive them.
Right.
Love them the way I love them. All of a sudden, he's not saying love them because they're your brother or sister. Love them the way I love them. Like I said earlier, it doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody. It doesn't mean you have to like everybody. It doesn't mean you have to approve of their choices and decisions. Because a good parent loves their children even if they don't like the choice they just made. There's something that's supernatural about this that the heart of your father wants us, his children, to have, that we don't just walk around saying, I'm better. We begin to say, I'm a reflection of him. I have the heart of God. And when I have the heart of God, and it's not something I tried to do, it's not something I'm just saying I'm doing, it's all of a sudden God changes your heart on the inside, and you can literally have love or mercy or compassion for people before you hated.
Amen.
That's a miracle. That's not a discipline, that's a miracle. That's not mind over matter, that's a miracle. That's not I'm gonna try and do better, that's a miracle. Where God can reach into the heart of a person and change it in such a way that the standard's been so high that what you could not jump over before, he's gonna raise the bar so that when you jump over this, you know, God is doing a miracle in my life. I used to freak out when that person used to say that. I would get that look and it would get me all upset. I used to be angry for months, some of us years. But God can change it. Where you look at the person, but all of a sudden you become aware of their history. Aware, not just like in the gifts of the Spirit, but aware. It's like you have a compassion. Hurt people, and God begins to show you the pain they're going through. Changes the whole ballgame. How do I do this? Sounds good, Pastor. How do I do this? Two verses in closing. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Let me give you a second verse real quickly, and I'll talk about them both together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And 1 John 4 is a fabulous verse. It talks about the love of God. How do they know that they love God if they don't love people? You say you love God who you can't see, but but you don't love those you do see. How is that possible? The Bible says stuff like, and they will know that they are Christians by their love for one another. This is just not, I'm going to love you like I love myself. This is, I'm going to begin to love you like the Father loves you. First John 4, verse 19 says, we love him because, so my experience with his love allows me to reflect his love back to him. Let me say that again. So because he loved you, because he loves me, if as I experience that love, it allows me. We thought we were doing good. Oh, I'm so spiritual. I love Jesus. The only reason you love Jesus is because of Jesus.
Right.
Without Jesus, you wouldn't love Jesus.
Right.
You can say what you want, but it's God's so good. Philippians 2 tells us he is so good in New Living Translation that he gives you the desire and the ability or power to do what pleases him. He's so good, he's not going to ask you to do something. He said, I'm going to ask you to do it, but if you let me, I'm going to give you the desire and the ability to be successful in this. He partners with you through the whole process. Why? Because the level down here that you couldn't jump, he's getting you to jump way up here and live at a whole nother level, but you're not doing it on your ability. You realize that the actions you take are just a reaction to his revelation. James says, our faith without works is dead. So you are just walking this out and seeing God do what only God can do, not only in you, but through you. And so now you begin to experience the love of God for yourself. And now you can respond with that love back to him.
Amen.
And in the same way, it's tied to the same way in loving other people. Is it not the first two things of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Upon these two commandments hangs all the law. Well, if that's the law, what's the level of grace? It's a higher level, but they're still connected. And God's saying, listen, if you begin to experience my presence, you'll begin to experience my love. And when you experience my love for yourself, you'll be able to not only reflect it back to me, but you'll be able to release it to others.
Amen.
It's a reflection and it's a release.
Yes.
It's a reflection back to him and a release to others.
Yes.
How do you show mercy to people? Because you've been in his presence, and out of the word of God and the presence of God, you begin to experience the mercy of God.
Yes.
And because you've experienced mercy, you can not only reflect that in worship, but you can release it to others.
Yes.
Pastor, but they've done me wrong and I hate them.
Yes, come on.
Well, that's where you're at today. Be real with yourself.
Right.
But get real with God and say, God, as I stand before you, I love you, but I hate them. So what do you need to do? Don't deal with that yet. Deal with you now. Get in the presence of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Well, I tried that, Pastor. You know, 2 weeks ago, I got my Bible out and I dusted it off and I read three whole verses. And I thought, well, now it's my time to pray. And I timed myself. I prayed for 5 minutes. Sang two songs. Surely that should be enough. No, see, what you're doing is it's like getting in a car. See, some people, sometimes we worship our worship.
Come on.
Your worship, your prayer, your time in the Word are like vehicles. Hey, I'm going on a trip. Where are you going? I'm going to drive to California. Fantastic. A few hours later, I come back and you're still in the car. Music on, drinking something, eating your Chick-fil-A, hallelujah. And and I'm knocking on your window, what are you doing? Oh, I'm on a road trip, I'm going to California. No, you're not on a road trip. Yeah, I am, we got the family in the car, car's on, we're eating Chick-fil-A, music on, we're going to, got it. It's in the nav, the whole mapped out thing. Yeah, but you're not going anywhere. It looks like you're going somewhere. You're positioned to go somewhere. See, worship and prayer and the Word are not just so you've done it, they're to take you someplace.
Right.
Don't worship the worship.
Right.
Don't worship, ooh, I read two chapters. Ooh, I'm so proud of myself. I read 10 chapters. I'm so wonderful. Did you go anywhere?
No.
Did you experience him in this journey? Because if you experience him as you read the word, guess what's going to happen? The word's going to come alive. The word will become alive to you. A verse will come alive to you. You're going to experience his presence. This is not an emotional game, though there might be emotions involved. You'll experience the goodness of God's presence. I remember when I was a young Christian, and the first time I had that experience, and I felt the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, come into my prayer room, in my bedroom at home, and my natural mind was, wow, this is the same thing I experienced in church on Sunday. I'm experiencing him here. When you spend time in the presence of God and the Word of God, and you encounter him, he's doing a work. He's working on the inside of you. He who has begun a good work will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you allow him to do the work, you come with the reality, Lord, I got a long way to go because I am still ticked at that person. But I'm not going to worry about that person right now. I just want to get lost in your presence. Just you and Jesus. If you want to sing, sing. If you want to pray, pray. If you want to read the word, read the word. If you want to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to be alone, get alone. If you want the lights on, I mean, there's so many ways. I remember growing up back in the day when I was a kid and my parents, and they'd have prayer meetings at their house all the time. And in those days, they would turn the lights out. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. And they would have a record player. That's how long ago it was. They would have a record player. And they typically were Jimmy Swaggart record players. Do you remember Jimmy Swaggart? And those records would be playing. They would cry and sing, and they'd be dark. You'd do it either way. You find your style, your rhythm. But the point is not to match somebody. The point is to pursue him. To draw near. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Because the fact of the matter is the more time you spend with God, you don't get weird, you get better. Anybody who's in the church world that talks a big talk and is weird, they don't spend time with God. They're delusional. They were delusional before they found out about Jesus. Don't let those people sidetrack you. God is good. God is real. And how does he get the world? When we accept Jesus as Lord of our life and then open our hearts up and let him work. That's why Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Saying, God, I know I'm not there yet, but in you, you've got it all taken care of. Walk me through the process. Help me to love people like you love them. And all of a sudden, in the process of time, it's not overnight. But in the process of time, when you're walking this thing out, it's a walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. It's a walk of faith. That means it's progression. It takes steps. And in the process of the journey, guess what? You'll begin to see a change. And you might not notice it overnight, but all of a sudden, you'll see somebody and you'll have compassion for that homeless person where before you were like, You'll have mercy for someone who did you wrong instead of saying, Amen. Things will change on the inside of you because it's God who's working in you, giving you the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. It's the heart of the Father that enables you to love like the Father. That's a whole nother living. What would happen in society if majority of society would get saved and begin to experience that love and begin to not only reflect it, but to release it and begin to love others the way our Heavenly Father loves them?
Come on.
We could wipe out racism like that. We could wipe child abuse and domestic violence like that. We could think how life would change. Because praise God for laws, praise God for right positions and right leaders, and praise God for all these things. But without Jesus, they are just shells that people can get around. Because the truth is, you change someone from the inside, then literally the laws don't even matter to them because they're not going to violate the laws. And that was the point of Jesus. It all hangs on this, because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to do bad things to your neighbor. That doesn't make sense. If you love them like the Father, then you're going to do good. For God so loved the world that he gave. For whose benefit? His? No, theirs. Wow. Mercy, love, generosity flows from the heart of the Father. All things that pertain to life he's given us. Can you imagine the opportunity we all have. Instead of trying to make it happen, let him have his way in your life. Amen. I'm done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you bow your head and close your eyes, no one moving around, this is a very important moment. This is your opportunity. If you do not know Jesus Christ in a real and personal way, I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. That means I believe the word works. And I believe that when you are saved, you can have an encounter that you know without a question, shadow, or doubt that Jesus Christ is real and that he's your personal Lord and Savior. This is one of the greatest miracles. How does that happen? Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans tells us that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Romans 5. The heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 tells us that when we confess him, call upon him, we'll be saved. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today and say, Pastor, my heart is not right with Jesus. Maybe this is the first time you heard the gospel, or maybe this is a place in your life where you've allowed stuff, for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to separate you from your heart from the Lord. This is your moment. This is your day. This is your time to open up again. For 1 John 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the power of his love for you today. But I've done this before, Pastor, and I went back. He'll still forgive you because he's faithful. That's the heart of your Father if you come back. With every head bowed, every eye closed, repeat this prayer. If you don't know him, and this is your time, if the Holy Spirit's working, tugging on your heart, this is your moment. With every head bowed, every eye closed, say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart, the door of my life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Don't forget, we have the Saturday special meeting to feed our community. It's a great outreach. I'm telling you, if you're feeling a little lull, step up and help somebody and you will be flying high. It's just the most amazing thing. It's a real spiritual and practical thing that happens. Also, let me speak a blessing over your life. And don't forget, invite somebody. You know, they've taken off all COVID restrictions in the state, but sometimes people need a little coercion, a little convincing that it's okay to come out. Will you do that? Invite 2 or 3 people to church next Sunday. Here's a blessing. I'm going to speak, comes out on number 6. If you want to receive it, lift your hand as a way of responding. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name, we call you blessed.